2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Right on the Money, special coverage with Dave and Dejanovic.
Number one reason couples fight. Is it the in-laws?
Nope.
Is it
infidelity?
Is it the outlaws? Nope. Money.
Yeah. Surprising 0% of married people.
You think? I thought it was going to be the in-laws.
No. No. Are you kidding? Nothing compares to money fights.
All right. Pull up to the kitchen table. Now that we're starting to hopefully get through traffic, the crazy weather, of course, we're still keeping an eye on that. We're going to talk about some family financing, finances, and how often should you talk about them.
Are you familiar, because I know you love acronyms, the DTR?
No.
Define the relationship. Like, how often should we DTR our finances?
Okay.
Is this a once a year sit down with your spouse, go over the budget, the numbers? Is it quarterly? Is it monthly? Or is it like weight loss, where you should get on that scale every single day to hold yourself accountable?
And track where you're at.
Yeah. Hey, what did you spend on today? Or is that just the worst?
We have a live conversation just a moment with somebody who knows a lot about relationships. Let's set it up. Joint bank accounts. Let's start there. How do you feel about those? Because bank rate, which is, we talk to bank rate a lot on this show because they've got lots of great advice. They track all the numbers. They just revealed 43% of married adults in the United States have a joint bank account. Only 43%. That means the rest of y'all are flying solo in the bank account.
Well, it's interesting because the only have a joint bank account is they don't have backups. They don't have one for you and one for me and a joint bank account as well. That's what they run off of. Almost half of America only has a joint bank account. Now, my wife and I tried this. All the money in one pot. The expenses come out of that pot. The fun comes out of that pot. I would throw a stick of dynamite into that pot and just destroy everything because I was a little bit of an outlaw.
It seems like the newlywed millennials are the ones that are choosing to keep the separate bank accounts.
Yeah.
New research found that couples who combine their financial resources are actually happier than those who don't.
I think one of the big benefits of combining finances, at least what I've found from my experience with my husband, is that we don't have to really worry about the fairness too much or who's paying for what, because it all comes from our common joint bank account.
That's personal financial expert Kimberly Palmer. Obviously, she has a joint bank account with her husband.
Joining us right now is Dave Schramm, a professor at Utah State University, family life extension specialist. Hey, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on again.
Okay, let me start off with this. How often should we have the financial DTR, the define the relationship with our spouse and crack down on the finances?
Yeah, let me first say, it's kind of like asking how many times should I use the restroom each day, right? It depends on how many times I need to. But that said, right, some couples married a long time. Maybe it's every few months. If you're a younger couple, it may be a check-in brief discussion several times per week. But I'm going to say I recommend at least once a month to reconcile. You know, we reconcile using Quicken or another system that works for you to sit down. And we just sit down right next to each other, my wife and I, have the computer open. We go through, hey, where are we at? But it may depend on how many times you get paid per month, right? We get paid once. But the simple answer is it just depends on how many times you feel like you need to have that discussion. If one person feels like they need to, then you need to have it.
Okay, David, here's the problem. These things can start marital fights, right? These kinds of conversations. Mm-hmm. So you say that like you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yep, and a lot
of finger pointing, and then someone leaves the room upset. So how do we avoid that?
Okay, you need to almost set it like a timer, right? These money dates, they need to be brief, ideally about 20 minutes. And you need to stick to the points and avoid any kind of old arguments because it can feel threatening. It makes us defensive. Don't have these late at night. Have these when you're okay, we're going to sit down. We're going to talk about this. It's going to be a short, let's briefly discuss this. Because really what's underlying this is this need of, you know, what does money mean? It's not money. What is it? Does it mean safety? Is it fun? Is it about connection? And so you really need to kind of stick with the points and don't get off track.
I love that. Don't have this conversation with when you're tired, hangry, agitated. That makes all the sense in the world.
Or in the bedroom. I'm just going to throw that out there. Mm. This is just me. Do not have this conversation as your
place.
Yeah.
Yep.
Don't bring it into the bedroom.
Okay. So what if there really is an impasse where you can't agree on a spending plan or accountability? What do you do if you just genuinely cannot resolve the problem?
Yeah, if you really can't, if you really are feeling stuck, I mean, people do. They go to counselors. They go to, you know, a second party. Don't go to your family and friends and say, hey, what do you think? That's not a good place to go. But I recommend really trying to understand the person, and that takes compassion. You don't have to agree with them now, but at least try to understand their perspective on why they feel so strongly at that. Can we come back, you know, tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow evening or something? Just give me more time to really think about it, because understanding is so much part of the situation, the solution.
And David, this is part of your podcast, or you're talking money this week?
It is. Yeah. In fact, we just released our episode. It's on KSL Podcast on Stronger Marriage Connection. And we talk about tackling money in marriage. We talk about five money personalities. And so if people are interested, they've got to listen to this episode.
All right. Dave Schramm, Utah State University Family Life Extension Specialist. Always appreciate your insight. Thanks so much for jumping on the line with us. And I'll be listening to that podcast.
I think I know what my financial personality is. Butch Cassidy. Jesse James, a little bit of an outlaw, kind of edgy, want to do my own thing, don't want to play by the rules.
Oh, you're out there freelancing.
I freelance. Uh-huh. I freelance. And that's something that I've struggled with over the years. I don't make big purchases. I'm not going to come home with a boat or a new car.
Oh, that's what you call a big purchase? I think anything over $100 is a big purchase.
Okay, even that. But I will nickel and dime you to death with, you know, I went to a movie here, extra popcorn, went out to eat lunch, stuff like that.
I think I just hit on something, though. You were looking at big purchases as a boat or a car, and I'm thinking anything over $100. That's how I think.
$100.
$100. Yeah, that's a
rounding error is what you're looking for.
Run to Costco, isn't it? Let's get calls from our listeners as we continue to monitor in traffic troubles. Looking at the camera on Legacy Parkway, they're still slow, slow, slow. We had one caller just not too long ago, about an hour ago, tell us he'd been sitting in that mess on Legacy for over 2 hours. We will jump out to the traffic center, get the latest, also taking your live phone calls. How often do you DTR your finances with your partner? What does DTR stand for again?
Define the relationship.
Is it daily? Is it monthly? Is it yearly? Okay, and if it's never, I really want to talk to you. 801-575-TALK. 801-575-TALK. Taking your live calls next.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right on the Money, special coverage with Dave and Dejanovic.
Continuing to go on in depth on our coverage about defining your finances with your spouse, setting goals, and how to have that conversation. We just hung up the phone with David Schramm of Utah State University, and the tip I'm really focused on, and he said, set a timer when you're having that conversation with your spouse. That conversation should be no more than 20 minutes. But also every couple is going to be different on how often they have that conversation.
Yeah, there were a few really interesting tips that he had. Again, that he called it a money date. You should have a money date. Date night. How much fun. Let's talk about money.
It's like speed dating, though, if it's only 20 minutes and then the timer goes off.
Well, I think what happens, and this was the point that Mr. Schramm was making, was it prevents you from diving too deep into past problems, right? You don't want to go back and say, well, you remember 10 years ago when you got that gym membership that we held on for 5 years and you never went once? You know, you don't want to bring that up because that's just going to start a fight. You know, you want to keep it in the here, the now. What are we doing? I wonder, though, and we're taking your phone calls, 801-575-TALK. Do you dare have this conversation daily or even multiple times a week where you're like, hey, how did you do today? Like, what did you spend on? Where we kind of keep each other accountable. Or is that just begging for a fight?
I think once a day is too much. It's too often. I think once a week is perfect. I like to have these conversations on a Sunday night before you head to bed, at the kitchen table, and after the kids go to bed, so they don't need to be around that. Not little kids. If they get older, maybe invite them into the conversation. But I think it's a good way to reset where you were over the last week, where you've been, and where you're going over the course of the next several days.
Unsurprisingly, I think it's the number one fight, right? It's not in-laws. It's not infidelity. Your everyday fight, the fight that is most common, is about money in your relationship. And I can't say I'm surprised. I would say that's probably 90% of our disagreements in my marriage.
Before we get to phone calls, Kate Davis in for the newsroom. You've got some breaking news for us.
Yeah, Dave and Deb, we have some breaking news out of Nashville, Tennessee. We're learning this morning that at least 3 children and the gunman are dead in a school shooting. We learned just within the last hour or so about this shooting, but we know the gunman has been killed by police. We don't have the condition on the other children, but we've heard there have been multiple injuries. Still no word on exactly how many, but we do know from multiple media outlets that at least 3 children have died. This is at the Covenant School in Nashville, Tennessee. Again, the suspect is dead, but those 3 children have died. And we're sure that there are more people injured, just still no word on the exact number there.
Wow. Thanks.
CNN is reporting multiple patients at a local hospital. Kate Davis, thank you for the update.
I'm just, I've got CBS News pulled up here. Thanks again, Kate. As Kate reported, the gunman is reported dead by police. This shooting happened, as she said, at Covenant School, which looks like it's at or attached to the Presbyterian Church in Nashville, Dave. Yeah, and the fire department saying there are multiple victims. A very active scene as well. Do we want to take CNN Live? I'm looking at CNN Live. They are covering this as breaking news. Is there a way we can dip into CNN? Gustavo's got it. He said,
"You're entirely right."
There we go. Let's see if we can take you there live.
Of kids from elementary school on up who are now, in some cases, adults who've grown up in this environment in which their schools are targets. Andy McCabe, Chief Charles Ramsey, Amber Walker, thank you for all of that. And we have a lot more on this breaking news story straight ahead. Alex Marquardt will pick up our coverage right after a quick break. Stay.
All right. Well, we just dipped in a little bit too late there, but we are looking at video. Now, Fox News over the scene with looks like a chopper. Lots of police cars. Hard to tell exactly if they're gathering outside the school or what is going on in terms of the people who were inside the school, the students or the teachers from that angle. But you can see in the video from the ground level that it does look like police are addressing maybe parents who are pulling up in cars to figure out what is going on there.
Let's listen in to Fox News for a moment.
Can I say something, Harris? 10 months ago was Uvalde, mm-hmm. Robb Elementary, and that is in my mind right now. And you know, you mentioned earlier, we're still learning details. We're still finding out what has transpired there in Nashville. And I keep thinking about what we did learn about Uvalde and about Robb Elementary and these innocent lives that are lost. And my heart is breaking for those parents right now.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Marie?
There are too many names we've had to learn of elementary schools, of houses of worship. Ari, you mentioned Jewish facilities. Think of Tree of Life Synagogue in Philadelphia. I mean, we have seen...
In Pittsburgh.
We have seen over and over again places that should be places of grace and protection, schools, hospitals, houses of worship, have to arm themselves. And that is part of the, you know, the saddest part of all of this is that they keep happening in our country. And we learn these names. And we'll, as Kaylee said so beautifully, we will learn the stories of these children whose lives were lost. And I'm sick of having to learn stories of children's lives who were cut short, of worshipers whose lives were cut short. I'm sick of it.
It is our responsibility to know their stories, not just as reporters and co-hosts, but also as Americans. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are young lives cut short, and their stories will always be special in our hearts. We don't know their names yet. We don't know really much about the school other than what you were telling us, Kaylee, on the website. And I know I've been reading through all of the local news coverage there now. I mean, this and then,
we
of course,
we are actually learning
Senator,
a little bit more
Senator
back
Blackburn.
Here in studio about the Covenant College. School in Nashville. I'm just on their website. 2001 is when it was founded. 33 teaching faculty, between 195 and 210 students enrolled. That's the average there. The student-to-teacher ratio, Dave, is something that's practically unheard of. Of course, this is it seems as though this could be a private school, a Presbyterian school. We'll continue to look for that information. 8-1 is the student-to-teacher ratio there. It looks like they focus on things like art, the Bible, library, music, STEM classes, world culture as well.
Yeah, I'm also reading from an ABC News report that this school is primarily for preschool through sixth grade.
And as last report, three children dead in that school shooting in Nashville. And what were their, what are the age, what's the age range? Preschool to
sixth grade? Yeah, pre through sixth grade.
Of course, last week we were on the show, Dave, when we began getting news of a shooting at a high school in Denver, the Denver area. You know, just coming off that, we just got the breaking news from the newsroom that there was an active shooter in a Nashville
school. Our roof got
school,
damaged.
And that shooter is dead, just like what happened in the Denver area to the active shooter there in Denver, pronounced dead a short ways from the school there. Kate stuck her head back in. She ran out into the newsroom, stuck her head back in moments ago and said ABC News is going to take us live to a news conference in about the next 15 minutes or so. We will take you there live, of course, as we always do, the moment it happens.
KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City. Listen on the KSL News Radio app and in your car at 102.7 FM. KSL News Radio, Utah's all-day companion for news.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.